Thank you. Well, welcome to the situation report for April 15th. It's tax day. Now, a lot of people have filed extensions, not paid their taxes, because they realize this year they're buying a missile with their taxes, probably being sent to Ukraine. The situation, though, in the country is nothing short of a shit show. And you tell yourself they can't do anything crazier, and then they do. So there's a bunch of things going on all at the same time. So we did the sit rep on Saturday, which, by the way, was Matt Bracken's idea, which I thought was a brilliant idea. And a bunch of us pivoted on Saturday and jumped on. And he's got his view. Of the situation. The rest of us have our view of the situation. And I think it's a good balance because, you know, he's been out of the system for a long time. And there's those of us that were just in the system that know we have capabilities to go after drones. And we know that we've been working on counter drone technology for the last 2 years since the situation in Ukraine has developed. So the truth about what drones were sent, which drones were intercepted, how they were intercepted, what were what countermeasures were used, somewhere in the middle. And I think it's you know, his point is salient, though, because if we're sending fighters after drones, that's a really expensive counter drone technology to use, because you're putting a pilot in a plane and you're sending them up to go after multiple drones. It's kind of like the British going after the V2s and the V1s during World War II. And the V1 was faster than most of our fighters, so they would hope to get close enough to get a gunshot in or two. They would go wingtip to wingtip with the V1s and basically flip them off axis using their wings. You got to be a damn skilled pilot to do that, and crazy. So it's pretty interesting to see the situation develop and to see the technology develop, right? Some of it we won't hear about until years after. Some of it we'll see right away. Some of it we'll hear through rumors. But the point is, that technology is developing, and it's rendering obsolete a lot of battlefield technology that we've invested billions and billions of dollars in, especially fighter tech. Look at how much money we spent on the F-22 and the F-35. And invariably, people forget that when you field a new technology, that technology is in development for a long time before it's operationalized. And the V-22 is a perfect example of how long it takes in some cases to operationalize new technology, and how many crashes, how many Marines have died in the V-22, and it's still not perfected even today. There's still issues with it. Novel idea, great tech if we can get it, you know, solidified and operationally safe. Just like the F-22 took a long time to develop the F-22, four missiles. It's literally like a lever action rifle, five rounds. That's all you get. And that's the trade-off with new technology, right? You're trading off one piece for another piece. And for years, it was radar absorbency. It was radar cross signature. Now, none of that matters because of the drone situation. Radar cross-section and radar evading technology does not matter anymore. Because if you can flood the system with radar, with technology that can show up on radar, all you see is a big blob. And it doesn't matter how much you have, because if radar can see it, they know it's coming, but you can't counter 10,000 drones coming at you at the same time unless you have the tech to do it. And, you know, a squadron F-16 is not going to take down 10,000 drones before they get shot down. So the whole radar avoiding technology, done. Except for certain circumstances. And look, that's a gross overgeneralization, but the point's made, right? The drone tech has changed the battlescape completely. Like COVID forever changed the work environment, drones are changing the foliage of the battle area. And, you know, the attack on Israel over the weekend, it's like anything else, right? You hear the reports of it, you wait to see what the 5th, 6th, 10th reports are to see if they all line up. And like any other situation that's come out in the mainstream media, it was, you know, conjecture, nonsense, and now the story's starting to develop. First, it was they fired a bunch of hypersonic missiles. They used their latest drones. Now they're using they use old drones, and it goes on and on and on. But the point is, if the first 5 reports were somewhat accurate, they went after the airfield that launched the attack on the consulate, a direct response. And what is very telling is it was a very measured response by Iran, and it was a measured response in the right direction. And you watch the news and you realize that it's so slanted towards Israel being the victim. I should remind everybody that no matter where you stand on the whole Israel-Palestinian issue, Israel precipitated this attack by attacking the Iranian consulate in Syria. And no matter what justification they use, they're the ones that fired the first shot. And the Iranians, to their credit, have maintained a lot of, and shown a lot of patience and a lot of control, which is what's needed to happen all along, right? Somebody needs to be the adult in the room. And if Iran's playing the long game, they don't need to escalate. They're responding to say to Israel, we can hit you anywhere and you have no defenses against it. Okay, some of that's probably true. Some of that's probably not true. The point is, the truth's somewhere in the middle, and what happens next is going to determine if there's an escalation. I don't see the Iranians wanting to escalate. Doesn't benefit them right now. Later in the summer, it probably will benefit them. But the elite are trying to precipitate an expansion in a wider war. They've been trying to do that for quite some time. And they haven't been successful because the powers that be outside of the U.S. are showing a lot of measured control. And that's a good thing for the entire planet right now. And, you know, I've had several people say to me, I've heard just so many wild things over the weekend. Let me do some administrative stuff before I get into the next topic. So over the weekend, I shut down the Telegram chat channel, and I've used Telegram since I started doing Rumble as a place to field questions because I had people watching the channel. But the reality about Telegram is, at least in my view, is that it's outlived its usefulness. The law of diminishing returns really applies here, because for a channel that's supporting 200 or 300 people, it's taken 12 admins, and a couple of them are working 24/7 to keep the bots out, to keep the shills out, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's the standard interpersonal rivalries that go along in any channel that talks politics and talks a few other things. And on Friday or Saturday, I can't remember which, I listed a bunch of topics that I didn't want in the room. Like one of the things I've told my admins to stay away from, and I even pulled one of my admins back, was from religious dogma. If you talk religion, abortion, DEI, the trans agenda, it's a conversation to nowhere because everybody's drawn their line in the sand. Everybody has their belief about what's right and what's wrong with each one of those issues. And you're not talking them off the ledge. All you're doing is creating conflict in the room, and you're not furthering the conversation. Just like you're not going to convince anybody to come over to your side. So why have the conversation? It's already been decided in court. The timing couldn't have been any worse for them to decide that in court. I mean, it benefits the left because now they can be the victims, which is what they are. But when you look at when I look at Telegram chat in whole, it's a bunch of personalities. And the fact that I had so many people having to regulate the conversation, and some of them went draconian, some of them went the other direction and were too lax. I mean, it's one thing after another. But the part about it that didn't sit well for me was the fact that it's just a repository for passive aggressives. And it just drives me. I don't do passive aggressive at all. I don't do the whole game where it's, I don't want to start trouble, but I don't want to, you know, touch a hot button, but, you know, that was a complete misunderstanding what I was saying. You misunderstood what I was saying. No, I really didn't. You're passive aggressive. Accountability and responsibility is kryptonite to you. And I don't have time to be the thought police, to be the censor, and to be the parent in the room to tell you to shut the fuck up. We have better things to do with our time, like posting content that matters and content that can help people versus breaking up fights in the room between personalities. And it seemed like that's all I was doing. And to me, there's no win-win there. The win-win is in posting content that people can actually use. And, you know, the other side of the chat in Telegram is that once you post it, you have to sift through all the other posts that people have posted to figure out what the conversation actually is. And there's no way, unless you respond directly to somebody's comment, people respond to your comment, like Twitter, you can lose the conversation, lose the context of the conversation very quickly. If you posted, you know, any kind of a video, you have to sift through all the media, and it's not an efficient chat program. It's not an efficient way to do the discussion. And, you know, demographically, the other side of that is that it's a very small demographic of people that are on Telegram. Most 20-somethings have no idea what Telegram is and don't care. Most 30-somethings are still on Instagram and Facebook, and they're on Snapchat. They're on, I can't think of the other chat program it is, but there's a variety. So I made the decision to pull the trigger to get rid of the chat and move to Truth Social. I have a group set up in Truth Social. So if you want to post questions to me or for Troop, you can still use Troop's channel on Telegram. But if you go out to Truth Social and look for One Team, One Fight as a group, you'll see that's the group that I'm monitoring now. And it's a lot more efficient. And for those of you that aren't on Truth Social, you can still find me on Gab. I'm still on Twitter. I'm still on Getter. So there's plenty of ways to find me. And I'm still, for lack of a better word, troll Troop's channel. I still troll the Gray Matters channel. So there's more than a few mechanisms to get a hold of me. And I'm not saying that I won't bring back the chat, but it's not in the roadmap right now. And really what it boiled down to is, do I exert a bunch of energy for 400 users or do I exert a bunch of energy for 4 million? And the answer is obvious. So that's where the chat's at. The other piece too is I'm refocusing the channel strictly to preparedness and getting away from the political side of things, because there's no politics right now. The number one, that are real, and number two, that are worth even paying attention to, like the Trump court case. It's, to me, that's all white noise. Yeah, they're going after Trump again. And it's been constant, right? they're doing their level best to use lawfare to take him off the books. Here's the reality of that situation. The system that he's playing in is dead. It's just a matter of when the catalyst is going to hit that's going to wake everybody up that the system is dead. The fact that we have a flood across our borders, we're exporting all of our military technology, and now there's this discussion around the draft, et cetera. Our system's dead. We can't resuscitate it. You can't reform it. All we can do now is wait for it to collapse and rebuild it. Court cases, any kind of legislation, all noise. And I don't care what they pass. I don't care how many FISA bills they pass. I could care less. Because at the end of the day, when the shooting starts, nobody's going to give a shit about what laws are on the books. It's going to be survival of the fittest at that point. So they can pass whatever the fuck they want to pass. I don't care. And as far as I'm concerned, everyone in DC, everyone here in Arizona that's still in the system is a traitor. Every single one of them. Not one of them has done anything to fix the election system. None of them. It's all been lip service and nonsense. So why pay attention to it? There's no point in paying attention to it. Oh, and that reminds me. For those of you that were banned from my Telegram channel and the chat, we took all the bans out. So you should be able to rejoin the main channel now. And for some of you that were removed over the last 6 months, I honestly have to apologize because I wasn't paying attention. And I wasn't monitoring the chat, not nearly like I should have. So if you want to come back to the main channel, please do. And that said, I'm not paying attention to the political spectrum right now. There's no point in it. I'm not paying attention to anything that's going on here in the state level politics. Here's what I'm paying attention to. I'm paying attention to what's going on with food, water, medicine, and ammo. Because all of those things are going to matter. And today, one of the ammunition plants in Scranton, the Scranton Army Ammunition Plant, which they make big artillery, they make big rounds. There was a fire reported there today. Go figure. And last week, it was reported that the pipes under Lake Mead are quote unquote damaged. So they're not going to do any release of any of the, spring melt into the reservoirs like they normally would. Are you starting to see a trend? They're going after food, water, medicine. The major companies, Vanguard, BlackRock, have been purchasing all of the natural and naturopathic foods and medicines. They're going after to control the food, water, and power distribution, as well as logistics. That's where your focus should be. Stocking up on water, stocking up on food, making sure you're using your equipment, replacing the equipment that you're using, having a plan, actually driving and walking the terrain that you're actually going to use if you're going to bug out of your location, if you're forced to, working on your sphere of influence and your line of sight, building your network, getting to know your neighbors and figuring out who's around you. That's what you should be doing right now. All the rest of it is noise. It doesn't matter. The most important thing, and I had a long conversation today. And by the way, I have to shout out to Captain Keschel for jumping on short notice on Saturday. It was a target of opportunity. He had texted me and said, we're on the event horizon. And I said, hey, I'm getting ready to do a sit rep. You want to jump on? And his comments were salient. He was talking about the election and his forte. And I'll say it again. Captain Keschel has done probably the best intelligence analysis of the elections that I have ever seen. And his numbers are solid. His view of the situation is solid. his assessment of what's coming in 24 is solid. And I'm glad that he jumped on because it was a salient point right in the middle of the conversation. And all of us know that something's coming. So to have him on and to, you know, get confirmation that he's seeing some of the same things we are was a good thing. So I appreciate it, Captain K. You are a good friend and a good officer, and I'm glad that you were able to jump on the show. And we had a conversation today, and it just reminded me that, you know, for all of us, our value system is in our families and our friends. And it's a big part of our value system. It's not just ETHO. It's we value family. And as we go forward, that's going to be the most important thing to tend to. And you can build a wider, broader definition of family. You can do that. But right now is the time to be focused on reflecting on, you know, the situation with your friends and family, how you can make that better. Reflecting on what you have in stock, what you don't have in stock, what you need, things that you can use to barter. And in addition to that, you could be working on muscle memory. Shooting gear, doesn't matter. Muscle memory. So that's where your focus should be. That's why I'm not focused on politics. It's just a waste of energy. And, you know, I keep saying unity is the hill we die on. And it is. And look, let's just level set. Everybody is on edge. Everyone. And that spills over into public conversations. It spills over into personal conversations. It spills over into a number of different areas in not just social media, but in your local area. And people's tempers are razor small. So, and their fuse is probably pretty much gone. The point is, furthering chat, spending your time in chat, spending your time in social media is not going to, it's not going to help you any. It's literally just a mechanism to keep promoting fear and promoting discord and promoting division. And as much as you want to tell yourself you're not in social media, I'm sitting here right here, right now. I have 3 different social media screens open. I have 2 different chats open. And I'm parked here for an hour. And take stock of how much time you spend every single day on your phone and in social media. I mean, I'm on my phone all day long, and I'm trying to wean myself off of it because it's getting in the way of my relationships. It's getting in the way of friendships. And that was part of the catalyst for me to turn off chat too, because it's all consuming, and it really is a time suck to nowhere. So my advice to everybody is get away from it and get off of it. Go check it once a day or twice a day, but don't spend your whole life in there, because there's no value add there. It's just more energy. It's just more of a waste of time. And you'll find too that the longer you're off of it, the more you're going to be for the most part, the more you're going to be calmer, you're going to be more laid back, etc. And to answer the question, who is the quote unquote new guy? Battle Dwarf is not new. He is on Gruntspeak with Terrence Pop. And I've invited him to be on the show because he's former Signal Intelligence, and he is he's dialed into what's going on, and he's following a lot of the different lines of operation. So it made sense to bring him on. So my apologies for not introducing him if that was the case. So anyway, back to the topic at hand. Right now should be about disconnecting and focusing on the things that matter, not spending time arguing, not spending time in social media, getting amped up. And look, social media right now, again, I'm going to refer everybody back to Pawns in the Game because it's a salient point. If you go back to Pawns in the Game, they're creating chaos right now. They're creating a series of events that are going to drive us like Sri Lanka, where they run us out of food, they run us out of fuel, they run us out of water, and then they usher in the social scoring system. Your job, your mission is to, number one, be the calmest person in the room. The calmest person in the room always carries the argument. And the calmest person in the room is usually the one that can keep order from chaos. That has to be all of us. Those of us paying attention. And those of us paying attention are going to have to be the leaders in our local area. Every single one of us. And we're going to have to be the calmest person in the room when all this happens at the same time. Because they're not just going to collapse all these lines of operation. They're going to release some kind of a pathogen too, because they want to usher in this World Health Organization. And of course, the World Health Organization agreement is going to be signed and ratified in Washington, D.C., because none of those retards represent us anymore. Our job in that moment is to resist in every single way we can. And look, all of you have to accept the same thing that I have to accept, that there are going to be people we care about that do not live through this. There are going to be people that we know that are on the side of the enemy. And if you go back to the Matrix, when Neo and Morpheus are sitting in a room with the blue pill and the red pill, and he says that there are people so dependent on the system, they will fight to preserve it. They are our enemy. All of you are going to have to come to terms with the fact that there are people you know right now that are the brown shirts, and you know who they are. You have to pay attention and be ready to make the hard decisions to cut people out. And that's going to be very hard for people. The other thing you're going to have to come to terms with is if somebody lives 100 miles away from you, they might as well be on another fucking planet, because you're never fucking getting to them, ever. My kids and I have had this conversation so many times that they don't even want to hear it anymore. But they agree with me in the sense that you might as well be on a different planet, Dad. You're never getting here. So in lieu of that, we've put together plans, and we've put together supplies, and we've put together a setup so they can survive without me there. And they shouldn't have to rely on me anyway. You should all be thinking about that right now, because that moment is on the horizon. The first event happened over the weekend. The only thing that's going to come out of that now is escalation. How much it escalates, how far it escalates, doesn't matter. The point is, we've crossed the event horizon. So now you should be doing and planning for execution. As much as you possibly can. Because when this happens, it's going to happen very, very quickly. And you have to get over the shock and awe, and react and make decisions. Most people are not geared to do that. Most people don't have the muscle memory to do that. Most people don't have the situational awareness to do that. All of that matters right now. And some of you will not get a second chance. I'm just putting that out there, because we talk about all of these pre-planning, pre-execution conversations, but we don't talk about execution in the moment. And you're already starting to see the social fiber break down. You're seeing looting. You're seeing street level murders going on. In fact, there was a viral video over the weekend of a guy that put rounds into a truck and then got basically run over by a truck. Now, there's no context to that. There's no backstory to that. There's no, you know, prep to it. So you know what's going on. You don't even have any reference point to what started and what the escalation was all about. But you get the point. The point is that the social fiber is already breaking down, and it's only going to get worse. And it's only going to continue to escalate. And if we let's do some other, I'll use some other examples. So most people aren't even aware that their taxes are over 50%. They don't even have a clue. This year, they're going to get hit with a tax bill that's going to shock them. And you're going to have people defend the system and people that are saying, going to say, don't pay taxes. Then you have the social system where you have this degeneracy in every major city that is continuing to decline. People, you know, defecating into garbage cans, people, you know, defecating in the street. I was literally driving to the airport this week It was last week. Driving by a bank. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning. Somebody's leaned up against the wall, pants around their ankles, taking a dump right next to a bank that hadn't opened yet. That's how far our society has been swirling the bowl. That's not going to get any better. And I want to address something that was a topic of conversation in the chat last week, and it was a topic of conversation on the comments, because this applies directly to what I'm talking about. This conversation that Trump is still in charge of the country is nonsense. There is no basis to assume or to make the assumption that he's still in charge of the country. First of all, if he was commander in chief and he's what everybody thinks he is, the military would not have been eroded to the point of combat ineffectiveness. Number two, the economy would not be in the toilet. Number three, we would not be in a conflict in Ukraine right now. Number four, we would not have millions and millions of people injected with a poison if he was really in charge and he was really the guy that everybody thought he was. This nonsense that we have to see all of these bad things is horseshit. Complete nonsense. Why would you do that and kill millions of people? Why the fuck would you do that? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because his fucking motorcade is big means he's the president? Are you fucking high? There's no basis in truth in any of that. And it doesn't explain the lawfare they're using against him to keep him off the ballot. None of those stories add up to truth. None of them. This is why the political conversation is such a red herring, because there's no basis in truth in any of this. And if I was the guy that was running the country right now, none of this shit would have happened. I would have marched into DC with the 82nd Airborne in 2020 and fucking arrested everyone. I wouldn't fuck around and show people how bad things were. If people want to take to the streets and start a civil war, I would have let it fucking happen then, before people were jabbed. Why the fuck would you think that Trump's in charge after all these things have happened since 2020? Why would you think that?
This is what gets in the way of people coming together, is this nonsense, this stupid idea that there's magic white hats in the background. We have to save ourselves. What part of that is ambiguous? We have to save ourselves. We have to come together as a nation. We can't sit back and wait for George Washington to show up or the White Knight. We have to come together right now. The fight's on right now, not tomorrow, now. Waiting around for the white hats is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And there was probably 30 or 40 people that were trying to convince me, either in chat, in PMs, or in email, that Trump's in charge. I don't care. The system has to fail. It has to fail, and we have to rebuild it. And we have to rebuild it united. I'm not going to wait for fucking Trump or any of the idiots in his circle to rebuild the system, because that involves a bunch of backroom dope deals with a bunch of rich white men that don't represent everybody else. Why would I want more of the same? We need the system to be clean and to rebuild the system from an ethos and a value system that matches our history and the Constitution. Not this nonsense of trust the plan. What's the fucking plan? Can anybody identify who the fucking white hats are? My God. Is there a point in this conversation where you people pull your heads out of your ass and realize you've been lied to? My God. This Q nonsense gets under my skin like a fucking rash. You realize that we spend more time in the true circles trying to unwind all of those Pied Piper lies? I mean, talk about an effective PSYOP. That's the most effective PSYOP that we've had in the last 10 years. Trust the science. Trust the plan. Does that shit sound familiar? No, Trump's in charge, good guys are winning, Trump's coming back. Get the fuck out of here with that. A rational person would not allow any of this to happen to our country, because everything that happens, every layer of abstraction that you put on top of this complexity only generates more complexity and more abstraction. There is no pathway to unwind it once it's released. The fact that we have millions of people vaccinated with a poison that gives them heart conditions, gives them cancer, gives them brain aneurysms, and gives them a host of other neurological and respiratory issues. Why would you do that? It's this nonsense that these people are in the background. It's not real. I mean, I feel like saying exactly what my 14-year-old stepdaughter used to say, can you not? Now is the time to turn all of that nonsense off and focus on what's in front of you. Your community, your family, at building a system around you at the local level so you can mount a fucking defense. That's where we should be focused right now. I find it absolutely maddening that we're still having these conversations or people are still talking about this nonsense. If any of this was true, like my favorite, this is my all-time favorite. Nothing can stop what's coming. You're right, because nothing's coming. And this conversation, the military is the last resort. Okay. We have a bunch of flag-waving, pride-marching retards in the military right now, and the ones that aren't are deployed forward in three other countries right now, not to mention in Asia. Who is going to do that? Who is going to round these people up? And more importantly, who is going to lead them? You start to see why these conversations that continue to perpetuate get in the way. You can't have a conversation about anything if that's the conversation. This is the same. And if you really want to know the why this is such an effective psychological operation, it's because people have made it a religion. And they've made Trump a messiah. That is fucking dangerous. It's dangerous because now it's the abortion conversation. You're either a baby killer or you're pro-life. There's no in between. You either believe or you don't believe. The perfect psychological operation. You've created division within division within division. And it's the same thing as the health freedom. They've infiltrated the health freedom movement. And guess what? That's filled with shills now too, creating division. And it's all about, you know, you can't associate causality with confirmation or whatever it is, where you're talking about the vaccine causes all these things. All those people from the pharmaceutical industry have infected the health freedom movement. And guess what? It's the same conversation. The exact same conversation. This is why I continue to say, and this is why I'm so animated tonight. Turn off the fucking social media. It's designed to keep you agitated. It's designed to keep you engrossed in things that are completely and utterly noise. There is no end there or end state that you reach from social media that's going to build and help you mount a defense in your local area. That's why you have to step away from that nonsense. And most of it is just garbage. They have done exactly what I said they would do. They would flood the system with garbage and people would be disoriented and start believing in nonsensical things. This idea that Trump's in the background carrying the football and all this other nonsense is just nonsense. Trump is surrounded by dipshits. He's got a few good people, but he's a terrible judge of character. And he was surrounded by swamp creatures while he was in office. And you're telling me that this guy's still in charge? That has to die a loud, grotesque military death. And it has to die now. Because what's coming is going to be far worse than anything we've ever seen before. And I can tell you the last thing that I'm going to do is have somebody walk into my AO and start spouting Q nonsense. That's a quick way to get some lettucillin. You won't have any time to deal with this nonsense. And if you're actually paying attention and you're actually seeing the fact that they've flooded every single institution with garbage information. They've bribed just about everybody they can bribe. They've coerced about everybody they could coerce in every institution. You'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. Anybody that's paying attention to the legal system right now can see it's completely fucking corrupt. Where a judge says, I'm going to throw you in jail if you don't show up to your trial. You can't get any more biased. The whole premise of the legal system has been that judges are unbiased. That should be your first clue that the system's completely, completely corrupt and needs to fail. And the other part of that is that why is everybody paying attention to it? It's noise. They can convict him all they want. The whole point of it is to get him off the ballot. Stop paying attention to social media. Stop buying into all these bullshit narratives because they're just noise. You know, I went on Patel Patriot's show almost 2 years ago. And I remember saying then the exact same thing I'm going to say now. You know, devolution's a theory. It's backed up by executive orders. That's all it is a theory. The enemy gets a vote. And most importantly, what's the first thing the administration does when it changes over? They supersede all the executive orders.
And just because one classified executive order is still in place does not mean that it's the holy grail that everybody's paying attention to. Because most of the time, the agencies and the different branches of the government don't pay attention to executive orders at any time. And we've been under a state of emergency since like 1996 in one form or another. Nobody pays attention to it. And then there was the question around the Chinese dissident. Okay, they found a Chinese dissident. Here's the part I could never understand. Why does it matter? This guy's singing like a songbird, really? Okay, DIA supposedly had this person. That's not DIA's job. That's the Central Intelligence Agency's job or the FBI's job to manage somebody like that. They wouldn't be given to DIA, maybe to debrief, but they wouldn't be given to DIA to manage. That's not in their wheelhouse. That's not what they do. It's yet another one of those assumptions by somebody who's not in the military that people have, you know, basically hung on to as if it's gospel. It's not. Just like this question around FEMA. FEMA is a clusterfuck. FEMA has been a clusterfuck for decades. You can't get them to agree internally, let alone with other agencies, to do anything. And yet there was this rumor, this persistent rumor that lasted for 3 years, that FEMA was in charge and it was handed over on January 6th. No, it wasn't. Just like the nonsense that Cheyenne Mountain's been shut down since 2020. No, it's not. I know people in the mountain. And they're all like, normal ops, dude. I don't know where you're hearing that. All the way back to 2020, I asked that question. But you can't talk people off the ledge once they buy into the narrative. Which is why I'm saying, get out of this narrative, because there's no end. There's no place this goes where you're going to get validated that you're right. And you can argue as much as you want. But when the bullets are coming down range and you're completely unprepared because you're waiting for the white hats, I'm not going to be there to say I told you so. I would like to be, but I'm not going to be there to tell you I told you so. So help me, help you, help me, help you. Start preparing. Turn off social media and start actually making visceral connections in your local area and in your neighborhood. That can be and should be your first and only priority right now. And you should be going through your gear like I've been doing all weekend. I spent all day Saturday programming radios. I think some of you saw the video on Troop's channel. And Troop came over and was working on radios, because I'm not a biofan guy, right? And I'm trying to get myself reoriented to working with comm gear. And y'all know how I feel about comm guys. So you know that was an interesting conversation. But I'm trying to educate myself and bring myself up to speed on the things that I need. And, you know, I'm more fortunate than most when it comes to this kind of thing, because I have people around me that are experts with all this tech, and they're experts with high-speed, low-speed comms, which is a good thing. And not everybody has that. So I appreciate the fact that Troop posted today on his Telegram channel, digital versus analog radio conversation, which, you know, most people won't get. But, you know, you should be spending some cycles every single day on your gear and spending some cycles every single day on muscle memory. I could tell you that since I stopped working, I have been busier, I think, than when I was working. Go figure. So, no, I'm not talking about X-22. Dave's got his own thing going on. He's been stirring the Kool-Aid for years. He's you know, Trump and the white hats, whatever. I want somebody to tell me who the fucking white hats are. No, and not they're people in the background. I want to know who the fuck they are by name. Tell me who the fuck they are. Because it's time to dox them. If you're going to sit there and quote white hats to me, you better come up with some fucking names. And not Trump, not Cash Patel, not Chris Miller. No, no. People I've never fucking heard of. People in the system right now. People that have a security clearance that are still in the system. That's what I want to know about. Otherwise, it's nonsense. It's left-handed, right-handed masturbation is really what it is. My God. It was all weekend of that shit. Okay, I'm off that rant. I think I beat that dead horse into a pulp. Over the next several weeks, you are going to see more and more escalation, and you're going to see more and more critical infrastructure go down, or justification why critical infrastructure can't be used to replenish water supplies, to replenish logistical systems, and to generate more logistical movement. You're going to see all of those things transpiring all at the same time. You're going to see an escalation and a ramp up in this rhetoric around the World Health Organization, the next pandemic. They're already starting to generate the narrative around it. Another pandemic's coming. And that's the part of the conversation that you would think would clue people in that have been vaccinated, that it's literally statistically impossible for there to be back-to-back pandemics. It's statistically impossible, unless it's being generated by human beings. But this tells you how stupid people have become, because they actually believe that statistics don't matter and the statistics lie. That's how much they've been gaslit and how much they've dumbed down the education system. Think about when, I mean, if you weren't born before 2001, you probably won't get this reference. But in 2001, after 9/11, we watched a host of security state protocols being put in place, and everybody was on board with it. Not one person said, wait a minute, we don't need all this extra security at the airport. We don't need to give up our individual rights. And if you've been paying attention to what's coming out of Washington, they're literally saying that the First, Fourth, and 14th Amendments don't apply anymore. And the Second Amendment was not intended the way it was written. They're already trying to change the Constitution outside of the legislative body. That should tell you that they've already declared war on the American people, and they've all sworn oath to China. They're all card-carrying Marxists. Why this is important? It's very simple. Everything in the old system is going to come to a staggering halt. All of those things that we took for granted after 9/11 as safety were put in place to establish the police state. And everything that they've done since 9/11 is to erode and to take away your personal freedoms. And they've even dumbed down the education system, so most people that were born after 9/11 don't have any fucking clue what personal freedom really means, what those big R rights really mean. And it's up to us, this generation, the 40 to 80 something, until you're fucking dead, your job is to educate the younger generations on what personal freedom and personal responsibility really mean. That's our challenge as we go through this. That's our challenge as we move forward as a society. And most importantly, it should show you that every piece, every institution is so corrupt now that there's no bringing it back. And local action drives national changes. We have to solidify the local base before we can do anything else. This is why I go after these topics so aggressively, because we got to kill all of these stupid narratives so people can see what the real truth is, what the real important things are, and get to signal and get out of the noise. When I have 30 conversations about Trump's in charge in one weekend, it's like having 11 conversations with myself on Telegram on Thanksgiving. I run out of patience for it because everybody's focused on the things that do not matter. The only thing that matters right now, there's only one thing, and that's unity. There is nothing else that matters. Nothing. If we don't have that, we die as a country. And we're already at the razor's edge. It could go either way. I can tell you, I'm not going to be fighting the narratives while I'm fighting the enemy. It's just not worth it. It's not worth the time and energy. Just like it's not worth the time and energy right now. And if it was one person, that would be one thing. But there's a lot of people that believe these things. Believe them. So do yourself a favor and start focusing close to home. Focus on your family. Focus on your friends. Build relationships. And, you know, Conrad had a very salient point. If you go listen to his closing comments from the last sit-rep last Wednesday, not Saturday's, last Wednesday, I think Dave had the best closing comments I've heard in a very, very long time. Get right with God, get right with your family, and reflect. Now is the time for self-reflection. Now is the time to build relationships. You can't do that with a screen in front of your face. And I'm just as guilty of that as anybody else. I'm sitting next to an amazing woman and I'm on my phone because I'm all wrapped up in Telegram. My priorities were all fucked up this weekend. All kinds of fucked up. I should have been paying attention to her, but I was wrapped up in all of this garbage. That will not happen again. I'll tell you that right now. And it shouldn't distract you as well. Be the calmest person in the room. Be the voice of reason. Be the mentor and the leader in your local area. Be the person that's 80% ready 100% of the time. Use your equipment. Teach other people how to use their equipment. Build a comm plan. Build strip maps. Build an exit plan. Exercise and practice your exit plans. Exercise and practice using all of your equipment. Do it now. The fight is on. I'll be back on Wednesday with the roundtable. We'll be on at 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That's 4 o'clock ROTC time and 7 o'clock normal Eastern Standard Time, which we all know the world revolves around Eastern Standard Time. Go out to the True Social, look for the group, One Team, One Fight. You'll find me, and we'll be back Wednesday. God bless everyone. One Team, One Fight.